might as well do it, yes.
This is the world famous Phil Endo. This is Margaret, sir.
But then he was talking to you, so that blew that.
Yeah, it blew that.
It blew, you know.
But we're not talking about lip locking. This is General Galen Shaw. Welcome to the program. And Phil's back, and we're back from our vacation.
And I'm feeling very refreshed indeed, until Dickman brought up the whole you blew.
Don't make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Don't make a big thing out of it.
Well, you're the one that walked into that.
Oh, my God. You're saying if it blows, you're making a big thing out of it?
I didn't say that.
All right. Hey, world famous Phil Hendry Show, welcome. Yeah, I'm back all right, man. Got that right, friend. So thank you for the time off, Phil. We had quite a good time. Well, I'm glad you did. But what I did was...
What you did may have been ill-advised. A lot of people were calling. I talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, I ran into a lot of people on the street. People coming up to me and saying, what's the story here?
Yeah.
Here we go again with you and people... Phil, look, I'm out there in the world like you. And people come up to me. I was over at the McDonald's. And, you know, I love to get the breakfast bowl and so forth.
Yeah, but you're over there to get the breakfast bowl?
I think that's what I just said. God.
Bud, try and listen. Try and keep up.
All right.
I'm over at McDonald there. You know the one, Phil? Well, you don't know the one. It's down on the Palos Verdes Estates.
No, I don't know it.
You don't know the McDonald's there?
No, I don't know the McDonald's at Palos Verdes Estates.
Okay, Phil.
Well, why would he know that, General?
I don't know. I thought he'd listen to Phil. He gets around. So anyway... I'm down there, I'm talking to Bill Brewster. You know him. You know him, right, Phil?
I don't know. Who are these guys you're talking about, General?
They're friends of mine. I don't know Bill Brewster. You don't know any guy by the name of Bill Brewster?
No, I don't know somebody named Brewster. It's pretty common.
Well, that is true.
What are you asking me, man?
Never mind.
So I'm down there, I'm just figuring Bill Brewster is so common, you must know one guy named Brewster.
I don't know anybody named Brewster, no. So are you telling me that you're down at the McDonald's at Palos Verdes Estates?
Yeah, I was down there with Bill Brewster, Jim McDonough. Actually, no, I was down there with Jim Brewster. I'm sorry, Bill McDonough. And we're kicking it around, chewing the fat, so forth. And I had the... And one of them, he said, have you gotten that sausage... I forget what it's called.
Sausage McMuffin.
What's that?
Sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, it's called Sausage McMuffin, General.
Sausage McPheffin?
Sausage McMuffin is what they're saying.
Hey, Phil, what is the problem with you, man?
You're the guys that just had the time off, not me, okay? So maybe I need some time off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, well, you're here now, so...
Now let's make the most of Let's make the most of a lousy, rotten, stinking situation. We're all here together.
All right, thank you.
No, but seriously, so he said to me, do you know... You know what? I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
We're talking about you were at the McDonald's.
That's right. People are coming up to me and saying, so what's the story with Hendry and all of this, you know, horse dung?
Yeah, a lot of people wonder about you talking about Trump.
I took the opportunity with you guys. I'm glad you asked that, okay? I took the opportunity that you guys were not here so that I could, you know, do what we used to call the Phil-onlys. Remember those?
Well, yes, we know those, but those were personal. They were not supposed to be political in any way.
I get that. And I don't think I made them that political. I was actually speaking on behalf of Donald Trump.
See, right now what you're doing is you're just, you know, you're backpedaling.
Yeah, trying to find a way out.
I'm not trying to find a way out.
What do you mean? You did two political podcasts, and I got people walking up to me at the McDonald's over there. No, hold on. Not only at the McDonald's in Palos Verdes Estates, I had a couple people walking up to me over there that had to fly. What's the thing called?
It's the old Sonic Burger.
Yeah, people were coming up to me at Sonic Burger, and I was in the drive-thru with Bill Brewster, and I saw one guy giving us a look, and I said to him, don't you dare say, Brewster, what? I said, the guy sees us in your convertible, and he thinks we're, you know, the gay. He says, he thinks we're a gay couple? I said, yeah. So Brewster started to get out of the car and head to where this guy was, because he was going to take the back of the guy's head and slam his face into the table about 3-4 times, like we used to do, you know?
General, you know...
This is vile and violent.
Phil's there, he's going, General, I.
Yes, you did, Miss Young.
Is that what I did? Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the guy that...
Talking about the guy came up to him and Jim Brewster thought they were gay.
What has that got to do with me, man?
Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
What? Mr. Hendry.
What has that got to do with me?
Because we were there at the Sonic fielding questions from people... about what a lazy clown you are.
Is that right? Well, you can let everybody know that I'm back on the job. It's all good. It's a beautiful thing. Is that good?
Yeah, you don't have to be sarcastic about it.
Bill, I don't think it redounds very well to you when you are sarcastic, but then that is just my opinion. I'm Margaret
Bill Ray. Henry Show traffic.
I didn't call for the traffic.
Well, I did.
Okay, fine. Let's go to let's go over to Bob Bacon.
Hey, Bill, welcome back. Here's the South of Jade out down there. I'm talking the traffic. I got it. And I'll tell you, there is a whole lot of papers in there. Magazines are empty. Magazine going about a quarter. And you see that Playboy magazine. You know what I'm talking about. Get out the 5 freeway. You've got that cop cars in downtown. But there's a trail of about 16 people in train. And I'll tell you, if you haven't had it down, you're going to have it right down to downtown train. That's it. Let's go there, buddy. Sky Boy.
Oh, man, they thought they're scraping the bottom of the barrel of the gas trying to get me there. I'll tell you what, right now, there's no goddamn thing. I know goddamn way I'm coming back in. Any great dirt band, any grandma, any green spins, bullet from. Go to Sky Baby.
Any green springs. Baby, sweet man. I was just joking.
Four days only. Go to Clowns in the Mall. Clown shoes, clown noses, clown suits. It used to be a place where you could go and buy business machines, but no one cares anymore. No one even knows how to add anymore. And even though they are business machines that will add for you, no one wants to take the time. Yes, at Clowns in the Mall, you can buy clown shoes, clown noses, clown hats, everything that clowns do, everything that clowns will ever be. And you can flush out of your system once and for all any thought at all, that you had a future, had a career, in business. Clowns in the Mall. Hello, everybody. This is Bob Sagan, and I am not Bob Saget. No, Bob Sagan. I get that all the time. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit about your home, at-home computer in-home. Your at-home, in-home, at-home computer is the computer that is in your kitchen, but you always take it with you to the office, and you wind up mixing accounts and screwing everything up. Your business accounts are in with how much milk you bought or how many eggs you bought. Well, may I suggest buying another computer? You can do it at
Bob Sagan.
Okay, again, I'm going to get sued by Saget. Bob Sagwin's Biggest Machines and Computers. That's right, Bob Sagwin's Biggest Machines and Computers. We didn't say business. We said Biggest Machines and Computers. We repeat a lot of information here because we're just doing this on the fly. It's completely ad-libbed.
Bob Sagan and Bob Sagan.
That's right. Go to Bob Sagwin, Biggest Machines and Computers today. Stand there, wait for them to open, then go in, look around, maybe buy something and maybe not buy something. Thank you.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for Ted Bell.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody, come on down. Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills. Let me tell you, there's a lot of damage has been done by Phil Henry with his whole Prime. You know, look, go to this Prime. I never heard of them. I wouldn't want to know. Thanks a lot, Phil. I buy time. You know.
All right, well, that's not what you said you wanted to talk about.
I know that. But, I think that it is probably not the greatest use of your time to be plugging another steakhouse.
So what was he doing?
Well, he was talking about this Prime.
I let me tell you something, man. You know that I was going to be talking about that. You know, because I told you. And Prime, you know, they're not buying time here. You have all this. I can have more than one steakhouse here, can't I?
Yeah, but they're not buying any time with you because they know it's probably a big waste of time. I buy time with you. You know, just
To do me a favor?
Well, I mean, come on, Phil.
Well, then what do you care what he's talking about?
I don't really care. The thing that did bother me.
Yeah, Terry, man, you don't care.
I don't care. The thing that bothered me.
Yeah, it bothers you, all right, because you called me up.
What? What did you just do? You went, yeah. You know, Phil, sometimes I think you think you're the Billy Goat in those Warner Brothers cartoons.
Anyway, so you did what?
So I...
Come on, let's stay with us here, Ted.
Oh, no, I'm fine. So the thing that bothered me was you talking not so much about Prime... But you went on and on and on about the side dishes they have there. Now, I've told you, and I want everybody out there listening, because this is technically a paid commercial for Ted's of Beverly Hills. When you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, what do you think we specialize in?
three guesses, and the first two don't count. It's meat, and how, when, and where, and in what manner we want to put it into your mouth. Now, that's all there is to it.
Boy, it's very hard to eat at your restaurant when you've got a slogan like that.
Well, that, General, I say that with the greatest of respect, and I say to you with the greatest of respect, that's because you have a brain that is also sharing space with a sewer. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand, and I don't accept that at all. When you say we think overtime as to just how we're going to get our meat into your mouth, I don't think you're, selling the product.
I was going to say that. I don't think that's a sell of the product either.
Well, it is a sell of the product, because I happen to know because I own the restaurant, okay? Everybody all right with that?
Well, I'm in. Mr. Bell, can I have something?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, well, but this is what we do, though, Ted. I mean, if you're going to take an entire segment.
I understand. Go ahead.
Well, if you're saying that your primary product is meat, all right, and then that you not serve vegetable?
Yeah, you don't serve any vegetable, do you?
What do you mean I don't serve vegetables?
They're talking about vegetables.
Oh, what? Yes, of course I do.
All right, well, this is an argument. We got to let people up on this. We got to get people up to speed on this. This is an argument about what side dishes you serve at your restaurant.
That's exactly right. And it's not even an argument, because you were the guy that came to me and said, oh, you should have heard him. I swear to God.
God damn, Miss Henry.
I didn't do that.
Oh, the hell you didn't. You called me up on Sunday morning going, hey, is this Ted? And I go, yeah. And you go, oh. And I said, this has got to be Henry.
I didn't do any of that, but that's fine. You want to make fun.
So he says to me, last night, I went to a steakhouse out in Westlake Village called Prime. And I said, that's nice. What's that got to do with me? Because I'm a steakhouse owner. I have the number one steakhouse on all of the West Coast. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Well.
Oh, baby.
Phil, say yes even if you don't agree.
Oh, baby.
Yes, you do.
Well, the damage is done. You don't think I have the best steakhouse on the West Coast?
I do, but there are probably differing opinions. There's all kinds of lists and all kinds of top tens that are being published, daily.
Well, that is true, Ted.
Well, okay. So you were telling me about the sides. Phil calls me. He says, I was in this place called Prime, and I had a fantastic, what was it, Phil, like fried broccoli or something like that?
It was barbecued. It was grilled broccoli. Grilled broccoli. Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. Don't go through it again because I already heard it.
Well, I want the audience to know. It was very good. I'm not saying that this makes Prime better than your restaurant.
No, not at all, but he's...
All right, so the grilled broccoli, what else?
And then the other thing they had was obviously baked potatoes. They had all kinds of the garlic beans, the dried garlic beans, which are amazing. They had the vegetable sauté, every kind of twice-baked potatoes.
Well, that isn't that good for a guy that's trying to lose weight, twice-baked potatoes. You got... Oh, man.
You didn't have that, did you, Phil?
No, I did not. I didn't. I had that, the grilled broccoli.
All right, so your point is what?
All I wanted to say is, how come you don't do that? You serve steaks, and you serve mashed potatoes, and you serve baked potatoes.
Yeah, let me tell you what we do at our restaurant, Phil. There was a time when I would be able to say to you, and I wouldn't say it anymore because I am very much racially egalitarian, but there was a time it would have been legal for me to say, you know what I serve at my restaurant? White man food, okay? Now,
boy, it's a good thing you're not allowed to say that.
All right, General, we'll check one off for the Padre for you, too.
Well, I agree.
And I do, too.
Oh, well, look at this. We got, what are you guys, the three stooges of righteous thinking?
All we're saying is, if you want to describe your food, it's for who?
Well,
Jed, it used to be for white people.
No, I said we serve white man food. Now,
no, you keep on saying that, and people are going to think you're serious.
That was a time, what I mean is, we serve American food, okay? We serve American food.
Well, American food is all kinds of different colored people.
Yes, I understand. Oh, man.
Ted, this is a hole that you started digging for yourself as soon as you said that, and as soon as you said of the different ways we want to put our meat in your mouth.
As I said to the general, if you want to swim in the sewage and you want to luxuriate in the filth, you can do that, but that's not what I do at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We talk about slipping our meat very quietly and very judiciously into your mouth, when, let's say you're snoring, and you go, I'm joking around.
Oh, my, you know something. You are, I don't care if you think you're funny, you're not.
All right. right. I took a shot. So here is what we do. We are the creator of...
What do you mean you took a shot?
I took a shot. We're the creator of the basic side dish. At Ted's of Beverly Hills, we're all about the steak. We're all about the Kansas City. We're all about the bone-in ribeye. We're all about the ribeye. We're all about the sirloin. We're all about the New York cut. We're all about... We can go on and the porterhouse, on and on and on and on. The baseball steak, which is what, as you know, Phil, has been our specialty. And it's one of the things that we used to have a billboard that said, "Hey, Charlie, go get yourself a baseball steak." It was two cops. It was a caricature. Two cops, one cop looking at the other and saying, "If I got to listen to you cry all day, why don't you go grab yourself a baseball steak?" So that was the billboard.
Wait, that on a billboard?
What?
That was on a billboard.
Yes, it was a caricature of two LAPD cops, and one's looking at the other and saying, "If I got to listen to you cry all day like a woman, go get yourself a baseball steak."
That was your billboard.
How many times do I got to say this?
Ted, I don't believe that. I would have heard something about that. I'm very steeped in LA culture.
Well, all right. It was a billboard that I wanted to do, and they wouldn't let me. Now, here's what I want to say. At Ted's of Beverly Hills, we serve baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, green beans. What else, Chef? Chef Chedillion.
I just got to, and I recommended this show, by the way. If you want to serve a very basic and good basic potato, you know, a potato, menu?
Yeah.
All right, you serve baked potato, we have mashed potato, we have green bean pea, we have a bowl of peas, you got a bowl of peas, and we have a salad. And we have coleslaw, and that's it. And you can take that or leave it.
That is our attitude at Teddy Beverly Hills.
All right, and you don't think there's any percentage in having these nice side dishes that I was mentioning?
What nice side dishes?
Phil is talking about very standard in a lot of steakhouses for many, many years. These elegant side dishes of vegetables, the grilled broccoli, as he was saying, or the Brussels sprouts. There's also grilled broccoli. They do the vegetable sautés. They do vegetable medleys. They do twice-baked potatoes, scalloped potatoes, potatoes au gratin. Marvelous, marvelous dishes, creamed spinach.
Oh, God almighty. Gotcha. That I will not abide.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What is a tough one?
Now you talk about the creamed spinach.
And what are you looking at?
Now, hold on, Margaret. I don't want to have a fight every time you think he's saying something...
salacious?
But I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he goes, cream spinach. You know, he gave kind of the upturned lick. The upturned look.
Upturned lick?
I said look.
Can we get back to me because I happen to be the guest?
All I'm saying to you, Ted, is the following. You can serve anything you want. You can do anything you want. But at Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you don't want to compete in today's modern, you know, marketplace, you're going to wind up sucking exhaust, son.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much, General. Thank you. Now, what restaurant do you own?
I don't... You can say anything you want. You always use that old canard. What restaurant do you own? What business you in? I eat in restaurants. I'm a customer. And I'll tell you...
Now, General, with all due respect, what you consider to be a quality steakhouse is Sizzler!
Oh, my God.
Sizzler!
Hey, Ted.
Well, I get this all the time from you guys.
All right, do whatever you want to do, man. You were the guy that came on here last month that said your business was tanking.
Not because I'm not serving vegetable medley. We had a couple of problems. First of all, we had a problem with clientele. Secondly, I had a problem with delivery, and I had a bunch of people quit. So these things happen in the restaurant business, but it ain't because I'm not serving potatoes. Here it is right here, right, Chef?
I'm not familiar with it. Potato au gratin.
That's called potatoes au gratin.
Potatoes au gratin.
Say it again.
Potatoes au gratin.
It sounds pretty far out to me.
Here's one here. Well, look at this. There's no way you can do this. Clean corn.
You understand the problem that I can't do creamed corn. You don't understand.
You know, Ted, I'm losing my patience with how filthy not only your thoughts are, but filthy the lead-up to your thinking.
Okay, if you don't think it's true.
What do you mean you can't do creamed corn?
Any restaurant, I'm not going to do creamed. I've got a reputation. I have a restaurant here that is frequented by families. Not only that, but yes, okay, I have the occasional gangster. I've got media people. I've got movie stars. I can't do creamed corn because they read that a certain way.
Phil, I got to go with Ted on this. If you do a clean corn...
Yeah?
You're going to make us spell it out, huh?
Yeah, I'd like you to spell it out. So you're selling cream corn, then what?
I do. You do it. Ted has once a month, he has the Beverly Hills Women's Club. You know that?
Yes.
And you think you're going to serve cream corn to them?
And why not?
And why not? You understand, Phil, that that suggests a certain thing. And I will not be... And the second group that we host, as you know, we have the Adult Film Industry, Adult Film Actors Association. They're here for their monthly dinner together. Oh, hey, here's some cream corn. Enjoy that. Ha, ha, ha. They'll look at me, and later on, after they all leave, they'll send back their bodyguards, and you won't find much of me left. Now, that's the fact, Jack.
If you look at the cream corn...
I think... You know what, Phil? You should hang up on these people.
That was great. When you know, Phil...
I know that. My voice is a little strained. I guess I took too much time off.
Well, right there. There's a very good point. You guys have been out of the loop.
Yeah, this is why I have cream corn and a cream broccoli.
Everything with the cream this and cream that. We're looking at a menu there for that prime. So I will tell you this. I'll take another look at the side dish menu, but don't expect miracles, all right?
I'm not asking you to do anything other than what I want to see your business succeed, man. And when we went over there to Prime, and I had a great steak...
Okay, what did you have?
I had a bone-in ribeye.
Yeah, I'll bet it was bone-in.
God damn, bud.
That's funny. No, pretty funny.
Yeah, like that? So.
All right, Ted, I thank you very much for being on the program with us. I wish that we had some sort of a prize to give you, like a consolation prize for being on our show.
So I'm getting my ass kicked off.
Not kicking you off. I got to get going.
This is Ted Bell here from Ted in Beverly Hills. Ladies and gentlemen, I do appreciate you being with us. I hope you will come in and have some of the cream corn. Shit. Here at Ted's. And one other thing. Before you...
Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen, and...
The cream corn line is so juvenile.
What are you talking about?
You know as well as I do that Ted doesn't have that kind of an issue. He's pushing that point because it's so he.
No, I mean, it's right. He doesn't want it.
You don't know him. He gets hung up on stuff like that.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. He gets hung up on stuff like that. He doesn't want to serve cream corn, cream spinach, any of that, because that means something. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do that. He's one of these guys that's got a very, very, pardon me for saying, folks, but he's got a very weird way of looking at things. All right, coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, well, Steve Bozell is going to be joining us. That was a very, very funny video. I don't know if you saw that or not, but...
The video of the little kids.
Yeah. Steve Bozell is going to talk with us about this video of two little kids popping in the middle of an interview that their father was conducting with the BBC, their father being an eminent political scientist. And in the middle of all of this stuff, here come the kids. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
That's the world famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. Going to be back.
Boy, I hope you guys are in anticipation for the rollout of our new website, because we have been dropping a few hints hither and thither, and it's going to be happening fast and furious. We are going to, first of all, I want you to know that we're going to have a primer. We're going to have a video that you can watch and share that will show you exactly how to navigate our website. We're going to give you some sneak peeks of some of the artwork, some of the caricatures, and et cetera, that we're going to be using. And, you know, the site I think you're going to enjoy. It is very bright, isn't it, Margaret?
Bright in what way?
That's bright. Intelligence?
It's brighter in terms of the look.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The beautiful blues and the...
I love very much the... It has the very vibrant Miami-style, Miami Vice tones.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah, it does. The aquamarines and so on and so forth.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry I brought that up.
Well, what is wrong with that, Phil?
That's, you know, the point being that the site was at one time, as it is right now, as a matter of fact, a kind of a dark nighttime radio's looking site. And we're brightening it up. And it's going to be so much easier and intuitive navigational, advantage you'll have. That's what the guys were saying to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a whole lot of sweet stuff, man, until we see it.
Well, it's going to be great. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our brand-new website, be rolling out very, very soon. So make sure you watch. You watch, man, for updates on that. Bruce McGillicuddy here for the Farmers Exchange. It's not an insurance company. It's not a place to go and get yourself wheat or barley or corn. It's not even a place to go and find a woman like that Farmers Only. No, the Farmers Exchange is a place where you sit and talk to other farmers about your problems, not your farming problems, not your problems with produce or getting livestock, personal problems, very intimate problems. Sitting on hay bales, wearing overalls, old school farmers will advise you on what to do sexually, what to do with your interpersonal relationships, what your dreams mean, and more importantly, whether you are masturbating too frequently, for instance, or whether or not some of those instincts that you have, some of those hobbies, some of those avocations are healthy, or will they lead to criminal charges. The Farmers Exchange, a place to go to talk to farmers about your personal problems. I'm Ben Cape, and I've been in Farmers Exchange. I've been one of the farmers that sits and advises you for quite some time. The Farmers Exchange.
We leave up the house counting hundreds and fifties and go do a show for 250. We sell out arenas and hundreds of city. These niggas won't...
Vernon Dozier from the... Oh, God, that language. Vernon Dozier from the... From Belmore Academy is going to be joining us here, and we're talking to Vernon about March Madness. Is that right, Phil?
Yep, that's right. March Madness, the basketball season is upon us, and Vernon Dozier, a football coach of longstanding, a football coach of high regard, and as long as I'm saying high regard, hi, Vernon, how are you?
Hi, Phil, how are you?
Hey, coach.
How you doing there, General?
Great. March Madness, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what they say anyway.
What about March Madness that drives you particularly nuts?
Well, I guess you could say that because I am a football coach, March Madness just means a whole lot of basketball fans running their mouths and telling you how wonderful it is. And I've had year in and year out of that, and I've worked so hard as a football coach that when March comes around, or just this time of year comes around, and then you hear March Madness, and now it's all Dick Vitale, and it's all ESPN and brackets, and you grit and you hold on. The only thing you can do is to hang on and hang on and hang on until it's over with.
Now, this sounds serious.
What do you mean?
Well, if you got to hang on to things.
A lot of people would think, well, I'm being facetious or I'm maybe overstating. I can't emphasize this enough. It's as if I were Ted Bell and I had a steakhouse and someone comes along and says, hey, I'm going to start a place, you know, where we go out and buy a Salisbury steak or something, or just horse hide, and we sell that. And that's like they're making fun of him while he's selling the quality product, and this dude comes along and cuts up. You understand?
No, well, not really.
No, it's not a good example.
Well, it's a good example. It's a good enough example for me. Basketball to the football coach is like horse meat to sirloin steak. That's essentially it.
No, you think the basketball is an inferior sport.
Oh, there's no question, Dickman, that basketball is an inferior sport.
How can you say that? They're two different sports.
Of all the questions I get, that's the one I hate the most, but the one that I love answering the most. So you messed up, Phil, but you also did a good thing. I hate it when someone says what you said, which is, how can you compare them? But I love it.
I don't think I said it that way.
But that's how I heard it.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, people upset you that much.
Yeah, you get upset, Phil, you're going to hear it that way.
That's right, that's how I heard it. You might have said, hey, how do you do it? And it sounded like this to me. How can you compare the two? Because I am so...
All right, so I get it. So you are upset with the question, so how do you answer it?
Phil.
I'm sorry, Coach.
All right. How I answer it is this. When they say, I say, yes, you can. How much money does basketball make? How much money does football make? How much thrills and kicks and laughs? I think football delivers more laughs, more kicks, more fun than any sport that you could possibly imagine.
There's a lot of people that disagree. If they're basketball fans, they say the excitement, especially in the last few minutes of a basketball game.
Hey, right there. There you go. In the last few minutes.
All right, well, there's the complaint. Now, hold on, I'm not done yet. But the kicks and the laughs. Let me tell you about a basketball series that I watched. I got back stateside, and I was back a couple of years, you know, and I'd
I thought I was going to leave the Army. I was in all kinds of challenges in my life. But I watched the series between the Suns and the Celtics in 1976.
Yeah?
What do you mean, yeah?
What about it?
That was the most phenomenal series ever, and that one of the games went three overtimes.
Was that the one with Gar Hurd?
Gar Hurd did a turnaround jumper.
See, this is what I'm saying. Right here,
This is what you're taying?
This is what I'm saying, not taying. I'm saying, right here, this is when basketball fans get going.
But that turnaround jumper,
the turnaround jumper by Gar Hurd and the Van Arsdale brothers.
Oh, God, stop it. I might as well get a hold on. I got to lift it.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, hold on for a minute. I just got to let the tension that you just caused me right there, I've got to let out by doing some chest work. Hold on. Yeah. All right, I'm going to do two reps. Jimmy, get ready to grab these weights.
We're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier.
Yeah. I can't even lift it off my chest. Let's try this again.
All right, Coach, can we do this another time?
No, we cannot. What you just caused, here we go. Two reps. One. I can't even move it. Get it off. Get it off of me, for Christ's sake.
What is wrong with you? You weren't able to lift those weights.
No, I wasn't, because I'm thinking about Phil and everything that he's brought into my life here.
Well, look, Coach, you don't like the way basketball fans, and yet to a basketball fan, that was exciting.
That game, Coach Dozier.
I don't want to hear about that game. I got a million football games I could tell you all about.
All right, well, can I say one thing?
What?
That was a game significant to General Shaw. He remembers it all these years later.
So, I remember the Jets beating the Colts all these years later. All right, I remember the Hail Mary all these years later. I remember that San Diego and Miami game in 81 all these years later, the Kellen Winslow game. I remember, you know, you want to keep on going.
Well, I can tell you a lot about basketball games, too.
And yet, he's not a basketball fan.
Who's he?
Talking about me, I am not a big basketball fan. But there are a lot of games that I remember.
We can go through this as often as you want, but it's always going to be the same thing for football fans. We miss our sport dearly. I miss coaching. And you know that, Phil. When you get in after the football season, what am I doing? I'm sitting around with my thumb up my, excuse my language, you know, up my, and I'm sitting around, and everybody else is doing things. My wife is off. She's with her girlfriends. They're, you know, she does, I don't know if I told you or not, but she does photographs. You know, she's kind of a model.
Really?
Well, that's wonderful. What magazines?
Well, I don't want to say, and I probably shouldn't have brought it up. She does photographs.
Do you do dirty ones?
Dickman, the only reason why I'm not putting the phone down and driving in my truck over there to beat you within an inch of your life is because I sort of led you down that path.
Yeah, you did. So let's not bring it up.
All right, Phil. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Phil's a little bit on edge because he hasn't had a vacation and we have.
Oh, he gave you some time off.
Yes, he gave us like two. We basically had a long weekend, like a four-day weekend.
Well, congratulations. Look at that. Miracles do happen.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't even know where we are now.
We're talking about the football.
Yeah, we're talking about football versus basketball. What I'm saying is, I miss football dearly. Then comes basketball. Okay, fine. Basketball's here. I don't, you know, if you stay away from me, I'll stay away. But then the March Madness, and you can't get away from it. They got brackets. When I go to school, all of the faculty members are doing they got their little picks, you know. What do you call it? Office pool. I can't get it. Even my wife, Brandy, she comes back from a photo shoot. And she said, oh, you know, all of the guys were saying this and that. I said, I don't want to know about it, okay? And then I find some of the selections that she's made because I'm looking at, she's got a box full of brassieres and panties and things. So I'm looking at these selections.
What is she doing, if you don't mind me asking?
And she's a model.
Obviously, she's taking some pictures.
She's not taking them. Oh! Look, I don't tell her what to do. She doesn't tell me what to do, okay? I don't tell her what she does with her underwear. She doesn't, you know, that's all there is to that. Plus, you know, it's a extra income for her. It's money I don't have to give her. And thirdly, I got to just keep that separate because if I start thinking about her, what she does, then I will never coach football again. I won't even leave the house. I'm saying that...
All right, so you're saying that March Madness is distracting, and certainly it is, but is there anything worse about it?
Yes, I'm telling you it is distracting to the point where it is a psychological problem for a great many coaches. I've got to hold on and grit my teeth for dear life. And I say a prayer, a frightened and a very silent prayer. And I say, dear God, please let me just be just. Let me just... You know, the monologue from The Verdict comes through.
All right, we're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier.
And so you're cutting me off.
Yeah, we're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier about March Madness, basketball, football, and how much hearing about March Madness bothers him, how much hearing about March Madness is a makes you grit your teeth and you're in pain.
Yes, it makes me grit my teeth and I'm in pain. And this guy.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Here we got... talking to Brad here in Las Vegas. Brad Rifkin, as a matter of fact. Brad, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm very, very good. Thank you for taking my phone call. And, Coach, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Hey, Coach, I think that basketball, because I grew up in New York City, is a sport that allows young people who are low income, you know?
Yeah, look, I knew there's a lot of people that will tell you that.
But I think it allows a lot of low-income people, a lot of low, way down. A lot of people just low-income, low-moral, and they're allowed to play basketball because they can't afford to play football.
What do you mean they can't afford to play football?
They can't afford all the equipment that it takes.
Right.
Generally, we buy that. Well, I know the team buys it, but on the surface, what if he has to get a replacement helmet? What do you mean a replacement? If they've got to get replacement helmets, why do you sound like you're in the jungles of Cambodia, right? It sounds like Colonel Kurtz's radio.
I don't know. Something with Henry's phone system?
Not my phone system.
I think that the...
that's what it sounds like. You sound like I saw a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor.
You know what, Henry? You can let go of this guy because he needs to go off and suck some more, whatever it is they gave him at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, right. Because all I'm asking...
Talking to Coach Vernon Dozier here of the Phil Henry Show. Oops.
Did that.
Cocking.
Yeah, you said it, man, not me.
God damn, Phil. You said that, huh?
Yeah, I said that. So, talking to Coach Vernon Dozier here on the Phil Henry Show about the basketball season, about the football season, and vice versa. I think it's just a matter of whatever you like and whatever you don't like.
Well, you can say it is, Phil. You can say it's just a matter of whatever you like, whatever you don't like. But at the end of the day, you're stuck listening to a basketball game in your friend's car or in a sports bar or at a friend's house. And you're hanging on to the edge of their furniture. They don't know it. They don't see it. They don't know what you're going through. But you're hanging on to the edge of the furniture, and you are praying, dear God, let me be just. Let me...
Coach Vernon Dozier on the Phil Henry Show. We've got to get going here. We got to get going. Coach Vernon Dozier here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we got Frank Gray. And Steve Bozell. And I'll tell you what, Steve has got that whole...
he's got to talk about those little kids.
The little tiny kids. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Ricky Bodine here. Hi, everybody. You've seen me on the Ricky Bodine Show. I tap dance, I sing. Well, I've got a new show that's coming to Gladiola's. It's the family-friendly amusement park. Ricky Bodine and the Tap Dance Review is something that I worked up between scenes over in the Ricky Bodine Show. I asked the network, could I go out and do this as a side project? And they said, we so wish you wouldn't do it, although contractually we have no right to tell you that you can't. So the Ricky Bodine Tap Dance Show, it's coming up. You should go see it there at the Gladiola Ranch. That's the family amusement place, and they've got the new Spine Tingler roller coaster and the Brontosaurus wreck. And, well, the stuff hasn't been built yet, but these are the ideas they have on the drawing board. The Ricky Bodine Tap Dance Show. Go see them at Gladiola Ranch.
This Bud Dickman reminding you that with a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, you have access to the largest repository of radio shows in the history of man on this planet.
All you have to do is go to philhenryshow.com and get a subscription for a month or a year. Get in on the ground floor now while the getting's good and become a BSP.
You will be a member of a very, very exclusive group, the BSP family. People who listen to quality comedy, quality radio, quality audio comedy, morning, noon, and night. It never ends.
The Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
a squeaking mattress, or do I need to ask?
Well, three guesses.
Now, that's the way these young people communicate. Anyway, I'm sorry about that, Margaret.
Yeah, sorry about that, Mark. Listen to that. What a grotesque. So there's a young lady there talking about how wonderful this guy is in bed, which he probably isn't, but she doesn't know any better. And the bed squeaks.
Well, you know, we were young.
But you're not one anymore, are you? Your mind is dried up.
What a cold shot.
Thank you. Welcome back, Phil Hendry's show. With me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Steve is a construction contractor, and he is also a frequent contributor to our news maker line here. Steve, it's good to have you with us. We're glad that you've taken the time. Now, this is a videotape. A lot of people have seen it, but I don't know if it's worth playing it. We can play the audio.
You can play the audio and people get some sense of it if you still have that, Mr. Andrew. But it's a cute thing to watch.
Do we have that, Bud?
Let me look. I don't know. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Because I hear it on a... No, afraid we don't.
All right. Well, what are we going to do? We can dial it up, right?
Yeah, dial it up.
And in the meantime, Steve, give us a description.
All right. But understand that as I give you this description, it is something that's painful. It's a little painful for me because the whole reason why I called you is to tell you, you know, that I've got a problem being showed.
You don't like what this thing shows.
I don't like what it shows because it makes me and other men like me, you question your own ability to even just do anything.
Well, what is the problem?
So you don't know what we're talking about.
Margaret, have you seen the videotape?
I know what he's referencing to. It's two little kids that came dancing into a room, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they came dancing into a room. They muscled their way in. I don't know, they didn't muscle their way in, but their father is giving an interview with the BBC, and all of a sudden these kids come prancing in like they own the place.
All right, now we have the video now. Let me do a couple things here. We'll get people an opportunity to watch this thing. It is a videotape of this man's children as he's giving this interview on the BBC. And suddenly, here come his kids. And it becomes a rather confusing, I guess, situation. So just turn Steve off for the moment here and let's listen.
All the time, the question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. Pardon me.
My apologies.
What is this going to mean for the region?
My apologies. South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months to a year.
All right, so there, Steve, is what it was and what it continues to be. This very funny. I think it's a funny video of a family. You know.
Well, obviously, that's exactly what it is, Steve. It's a family, a beautiful family. Interacting there, and the daddy is on TV, and the kids want to be with their father, and the next thing you know, you have this this amazing and very funny, yes, very, very funny interaction.
Did we lose Steve?
Mr. Bozell's...
Well, where is he?
He's not...
Well, where is he, son?
Yeah, we lost him.
Then just say, we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him.
All right, so we lost Steve Bozell. We're going to get him back. The reason why he called was why, Robert?
Well, I mean, he told you, right?
I got a little bit of the news, but I didn't get the whole thing.
Well, he feels that this is like the last straw to be seeing a little tiny kid acting like he owns the place. You know,
this is ridiculous.
This is the thing that Bozell does. He has a...
got him back.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. That was my fault. I sat down. I didn't butt dial my, but I sat down and I butt cut myself off. I don't know.
All right, but we've got you back. So, Steve, tell us what we showed the videotape of the father on TV and the little kid.
Yeah, what that shows, and you're showing it now, and I've got it in front of me. I want to reference it. not only does the first child, as the father is talking about the geopolitical implications of Korea and North Korea and the things that can happen, not only does he do that, but not only does he do that, but then as he is at the most pivotal point of the conversation, that I believe it's a four-year-old or three-year-old daughter comes walking in with a swagger. Man, I'm looking at it right now. She's swaggering in like she owns the god.
Please watch your language.
We know that this upsets you, Steve.
Very much. Hold on.
What are you doing?
I'm just catching my breath, if you don't mind.
Some things affect people certain ways, General.
Look, I have got to tell you, I've been in war. And for a guy to sit there and need to kind of hold on, just like what Dozier was talking about.
That kid came bopping into the room like her doo-doo, it doesn't stink. You know?
Yeah, we got the idea.
We got the general idea.
Well, all right, we've got the general idea. Now, as soon as that kid comes in, we see another thing happens, and that's there's another baby makes the scene, and there's like a double, it's a double attack. Now in comes the baby, the little girl. She's all, yeah, I think I'm so hot, S-H, you know what.
All right.
Now she's talking, and the father's trying to get her out of there. He's desperately trying to back her off so he can finish this very respectful. And then wheeling in comes another one. And this one wheels in some contraption. Then comes what I thought was the mother. She comes tearing around the corner, grabs both kids, and this is the most courageous woman of the day. She just drags them out of there like they belong, like they should have been, and they're crying and screaming. And it felt good to see that.
What felt good about that?
To see two brats who think they own the world?
See, this is, Steve, unfortunately something that we have long discussed with you over the many, many years, and that is your attitude toward the rest of the world as if it's trying to stick it in there and break it off.
You do use that term, the world sticks it in, breaks it off.
No, I don't.
You don't think you're hypersensitive?
No, I do. Let me tell you something right now. I got an attorney. Now, here it is again. It's on TV. Here comes a little girl. Yellow. God, I'd kick that kid.
You're talking about child abuse.
I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about just punting the kid gently, clear. Just walk up and kick. Have you ever seen the way a guy, look at this, and here comes this kid wheeling into that thing. She looks like a robot child. Looks like something out of a Star Trek. Ah. Now the mother is dragging him out. And I can only imagine what went through that woman's mind. She probably was thinking, God almighty, I got to put these back in the lab. I mean, that's what it looks like. Now, I know we're talking about two tiny, that's what it is.
Yes, they're two teeny tiny kids.
Right, two teeny tiny kids. I know we're talking about them, and that they're children, that's a man's children. Okay, and if they were my children, I'd do everything in my power to resist just swinging my leg back like Gary Yefremian and just, yeah.
That's a horrible, horrible thought.
You saw the kid right there. Did you see it?
Yes, I'm looking at a little girl. Apparently she just had a birthday party.
I understand that.
And was feeling very like she owns the joint. Comes walking in.
Now here comes the second robot kid. Just, yeah. If I saw that, I'd have nightmares for years. Because it's one thing to have a kid bopping in like she owns the place, and then independent of any adult, wheels in a baby in a wheel unit.
What about it, man? Those kids are supposed to be able to move around that way.
What do you mean, move around that way?
They're a new kind of walker for infants and small children that don't know yet, they have not yet developed the ability to walk. It helps them used to ambulate and to use the limbs.
I know all about the fancy schmancy of what everyone thinks, you know, but here it is again, showing it again. The kid comes in
Well, we know, we've seen this now a million times.
I have, but the part here, right here, this is the terrifying part for me. The second one comes in as if it's going to put the clincher on it, like it's going to go for its own father's throat.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah?
Hi, can you call back?
What is going on?
Mr. Bozell is...
I got it. Sammy, I got it, honey.
Mr. Bozell, he's not feeling well for 3-4 days now.
I've got it, Sammy, okay? That's our housekeeper.
God.
Steve, again, I go back to earlier programs, earlier broadcasts, where you were, in my opinion, overstating things, I think, a little bit. And I just will tell you, I don't think it is a healthy thing, because what you're doing is you're talking about a child, a very young and innocent child, a child that is, by all, you know, by all reason, not aware of what it's doing.
Right, but again, we're looking at it here, and when the kid comes by, sees its father, and it says, yeah, it's on TV, now I make my move. You know, comes in like I own, like my shit doesn't stink.
All right.
And now, and then the robot, the others, what I call the robot child, or the one that will come in and put the finishing touches on its own father.
Pozell, you need to go to a psychiatrist. We've recommended this.
No, I'm sorry, and I don't buy that.
I agree with the general.
I think it's time at least to take a vacation.
I want to just be clear. All three. What about you, Dickman?
You got to agree.
Robert?
Yeah, I got to agree, too.
You think I need a psychiatrist with your own eyes?
What I'm looking at is a little girl who just had a birthday party, was feeling she's amped up. These kids have been eating sugar all afternoon, God knows.
All right, I understand that, but what about the kid that comes in, that wheels in? It's like the little girl comes in and goes, hey, Daddy, I own this place. I own this goddamn... And then comes the kid on the wheeler as if now comes the claw. I don't know if anybody looked at that kid. I'm not saying the kid's got a claw, but the kid on the wheeler...
What about the kid on the wheel? You think the kid's got some weapon?
There it is right there. It's at the door. I would want to warn the man. I'd want to... And here's the woman. She tears in. This is a science fiction movie. The minute that kid comes around the corner, you should hear just... You know? And...
Stephen Bozell, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Well, Phil, you've been hanging up on people early, but I appreciate it. I actually agree with some of the moves you've been making on the program today.
I do too, Phil. I must concur that I think they have been absolutely necessary and needed in the context of the turd, excuse me for saying, of the turd that you have dropped here.
Learn
on
that.
This program today.
Can relate to this moment.
What the hell am I hearing? Oh, well, we're listening. Well, there it is. That's the sound of. That's the sound of the.
That's the sound of goddamn CNN.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we thank you, folks, for listening to. You want to turn that off, bud?
I just want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it 58 times. No.
Well, anyway, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry for CM3 Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.
General Kamen Shaw here.
Robert Leonard here.
Bob Dickman here.
And Phil Hendry. Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow.